This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, third hour. What's going on? Teek and Tierney here on this Thursday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, what's up? What is up? As we come to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio, need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget, your family. Rocket can. Twitter at Teek and Tierney. So Santa was doing some heavy digging. So basically, we conclude that we're both right between the whole Pearl Jam Nirvana thing. In essence, if I had this right, Santa, because I was jotting some stuff down, but I'm pretty sure I heard you, that Jeremy was released slightly before Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, but the video Smells Like Teen Spirit dropped before the video for Jeremy, which obviously is a very controversial, a visual, you know, with the young boy and suicide, and it's dark and it's deep, and they had to keep shooting that. That's pretty much the gist of it, right? But which of the two bands, forget about those two songs, which band had the first, which band hit the scene first? Not with a big hit, not with a video, because that was my point. And I still believe that, I could be wrong, but I thought that Nirvana was before Pearl Jam. Again, not Teen Spirit, Jeremy.
That I have to go back to 1991.
That's the answer that I need.
So in that time when music videos and MTV was like, that's how you consume music.
I didn't really consume it like that at that point. I didn't watch MTV in high school.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did.
Not much, nah.
I think a lot of music hit mainstream when it got to MTV.
So how did you get music then?
Well, first of all, let me take that back. I watched Singled Out. Oh, yeah. I mean, Carmen Electra was number two, and then we had Jenny, number one. That I watched. Even the guy was pretty funny that was the host of the show. I don't remember. Is it Chris, maybe? Like, the guy with the floppy, straight hair, brown hair. He was funny, but, I mean, I loved that show. I was, 16, 17 years old. I watched, I'm not saying I never put the videos on, but yeah. I just wasn't the type. I mean, after school, I had practice. At nights, I was watching game and reading and doing homework. Like, I wasn't a... I saw a lot of videos. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I didn't sit there and veg out at all. Number one, my parents wouldn't allow it. Like, I wasn't just going to sit on the couch and just, sit there for 2 hours with MTV on. That just wasn't the way it was in my house,
Makes
sense. Surprised that you guys did it because...
Oh, yeah, we did it.
You're always practicing. You like to read. How are you guys watching so much MTV?
Because the weekends. Like, our weekends weren't busy. I mean, it feels like they should have been, but they really weren't.
Because you didn't play baseball. That's why your weekends
weren't.
Right. And basketball. That's
right.
Why your weekends weren't that busy.
I did no travel stuff. It was all right, games at 9:30, like a football game, 9:30 on a Saturday morning.
Be there at 8:45
exactly.
And see you next week.
Exactly. We're home by noon and all right, have fun.
Gotcha.
See you Monday.
Gotcha. They used to have some good shows, though, Santa. What were some of the shows outside of Singled Out, which was really good? Oh, I liked when they would take the the party to the beach house. That was awesome. That was a fun scene. That was debauchery. That's when things were starting to trend
the real world.
I watched The Real World a little bit there. That was pretty good. It was okay. I mean, when they just took the party to the beach house. I'm not sure exactly what the name of the show was. You remember? Yeah,
no idea what he's talking
about. Obviously, you had to watch a little Yo MTV Raps.
I go back to Remote Control, the game
with
show.
Colin Quinn.
With the game show where like they're sitting in the chairs.
Three recliners with
yeah.
Colin Quinn.
Yeah,
I remember that one too. Yeah, I remember that. No, I'm not saying I never watched it, but it just wasn't a daily staple. And here we got
Kurt Loder.
I remember Kurt Loder.
Kennedy.
Kennedy's on Fox now.
No.
Yeah, yes. Kennedy's been on Fox for years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Absolutely. She's got a good show.
Talk about reinvention.
She's really, I like
no,
her.
No, I agree.
She's pretty funny. She's very witty. So Stu Getz, you're a young pup. You probably never watched MTV, right?
Very little. Yeah. It just wasn't a thing in my household.
No. It probably wasn't even a thing amongst your friends.
Not really.
Like the group of guys that I hung out, again, we were all ball players, right? I had a couple troublemakers too, to be honest with you. But like not once can I ever recall in my life, yo, did you see that on MTV? Like, no. That was never referenced. Did we just play ball in the park and maybe get the spray cans and do a little graffiti on the trains? Teak, you know I used to like to do that back in the day, a little graffiti. Although it's art, really, is what
deviant.
It is.
Deviant.
No, stop, not a deviant. Let's not take it that far. Deviant. My dad would have put his fist down my throat if I was a true deviant. All right, so I asked you in the first hour, and I said answer it in the third hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third hour, time to answer. I said, what is the date of expiration on the patience meter within Giant fan base for Daniel Jones?
The fan base?
Where are we?
I mean, the fan base, it's like immediate. they want it now. Like, we want to see you play great. The problem is, we're waiting for that elite game. This is as a Giants fan. That game where he throws for 320 yards and three touchdowns and there's no mistakes. And it just, like, yes, this is that's it. That's the potential we've been waiting for. And we actually saw that in his first year playing, his rookie season. Remember, he came in and took over for Eli?
Against Tampa.
Tampa, yes. A couple of games.
It was played great.
And he actually played really well that first season, despite some of the turnovers.
Yes.
But you excused it then, because he's a rookie. You're like, all right, this happens. Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions when he was a rookie. Turnovers are going to happen. He'll get over that. But did you see the big plays, the good plays? It feels like he's conservative Daniel Jones now, and that elusive huge 330-yard game with three touchdowns, and he picks up a couple first downs with his legs and maybe has 30 yards and maybe, you know, something on the ground as well. Like, that's what people want and need to see to stop the tide of anti-Daniel Jones sentiment mm-hmm. from taking over. Because mm-hmm. the problem is what we're seeing is these game logs of 220 yards and maybe a touchdown, but an interception, or, you know, 260 yards, no touchdowns, but a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're seeing it's all mediocre.
And he's got weapons.
Of course.
That's the praise. He's got weapons.
That's right. Kenny Galladay, they bring in Sterling Shepard, who actually played the best out of all the wide receivers last week. Evan Ingram in theory, but he's hurt right now, so he's not going to be out there. Saquon Barkley, same situation, coming off the ACL. Not quite right. He limped around a lot at the in that first game.
You think they should hold him out tonight, real quick?
I would.
You would. You would not play him tonight.
He just didn't look right in week one, and this is 4 days later.
Yeah,
I'm not positive about that. But that's even not the story. The story.
Not just curious. Saquon's. I wanted to get your thoughts on Saquon.
The story is Daniel Jones and what we all are expecting from him, and we just quite haven't seen it yet. Right. I look at last year. 279. All right. Two touchdowns, but two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
This is week one. Then 241, 179, 190, 222, 112,
ugh.
187. Like, there's nothing that jumps off the page where it says, damn, that guy's going to be our baller,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You go back to his rookie season, there's a couple of games he threw for 336 against Tampa and two touchdowns. It was like, man, we got a dude here. And then a couple weeks later against Detroit, he threw for 322 and four touchdowns, 308 and four touchdowns against the Jets. Now, these are the bad teams, but at least he was doing something, right?
Yeah.
He was showing out against the teams that he shouldn't be showing out against. We haven't seen a 300-yard game in a while. And I think that's what Giants fans need to see in order to feel comfortable that he has future, right? And again, it's not all his fault, because it's become a little bit dink and dunk with Jason Garrett, as we talked about as well. But the patience is gone already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They want to see him perform and not just continue to be potential.
Okay, so there's the element of the Giants fans, then there's the Giants organization. And where do you believe as of today, where do you believe their true conviction resides? Like, if they were injected with the truth serum and they just started riffing on Daniel Jones,
yeah.
What would we hear?
I think they would say exactly what we said all offseason. Like, we're optimistic, but the jury's still out. And that's true. This is the evaluation year. There's a reason that they went and got some of these weapons that they did, and they spent some money in free agency, is because they want to see. They have to know. Like, they have to figure out right now, in year three, is Daniel Jones the answer, or was he a mistake that we drafted?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they'll wait. I don't think they're going to wait and say, "Oh, we'll figure it out. We'll wait and pick up his fifth year option, and then we'll decide after his fourth, after this year's over." I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to make the determination based off this season. And so every game is an urgent one for Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And so he enters the primetime atmosphere arena tonight against the Washington football team, and it's all out there. Like, there's nobody else to evaluate tonight other than the quarterbacks or the stars that we're going to be looking at, Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke. Less Taylor Heinicke, because I think the expectation is lower for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectation is high for Daniel Jones. He just has yet to meet it on a consistent basis.
See, I agree with everything you said. And the deeper we get into the Daniel Jones era, you know, like with Darnold and some others along the way, you're fending off two things, a lack of stats and a lack of wins. And there's obviously a correlation between the two.
Yes.
But, you know, Daniel Jones at this point is 8-19 as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
His first year, he led the NFL in fumbles with 18.
Yep.
His second year, he led the NFL in fumbles with 11.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's already got one on the turf. So, you know, not every quarterback fumbled this. You know, I bet, Lamar Jackson fumbled three times. But, I mean, so one game in, he has yet to, you know, show this penchant that he's ready to correct it. Now, maybe he comes out and he flings it for 309 with three touchdowns, and the Giants win a huge game tonight. I'm not expecting that. I'm expecting a mixed bag. I'm expecting to see flash plays where I sit there and I say, and I'll probably even tweet, like, man, that's the Giant. That's the player that Giant fans are craving, because he can run, he can throw, he's smart, he's good, he's got a good enough body, he's got some instincts, he's got some moxie when he's out of the pocket. Like, he shows this flair, and then he just shows this implosion.
But here's what we're not going to see that because of how the play calling is. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, if Daniel Jones is going to fail, put that out there. If Daniel Jones is going to fail, I want to see him fail by throwing the ball downfield, by utilizing this core of wide receivers and spreading things out a little bit. And if teams want to get, cavalier about how they're letting him be loose in the pocket, then he can go take off and run. But packing everything inside and tight, and then trying to run, crossing routes and short hitting routes just to get the ball out of his hands safely, it's not doing him any favors, because that just brings more defenders closer to him, which makes him more vulnerable for turnovers. I'd rather the Giants just open it up and say, "All right, Daniel, go." Like, let me see you throw some digs into coverage. And if you get a zone behind you, a big shell behind you, let me see you get rid of this thing on time and stick it right where it needs to be. And Kenny Galladay picks up 15 yards. Or, you know what, you get man-to-man on the outside, throw that dude a nod or give him a gun or whatever it may be, whatever the signal is, and have him run a go and then throw that perfect ball over top. I'd rather see that than this like, highly managed, tightly controlled game plan that you see every single week from the Giants. It gets frustrating, right? Because I think Daniel Jones has some talent. He has some skill.
I agree
with you.
He's
a big dude, man.
Yep.
Like, bigger than you think.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
yep.
And strong and fast and an athlete. And it's like you got him bottled up in this little tiny Coke bottle and he can't explode. So, and again, if you let him do that, maybe he does fail. But he's failing like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not good.
And so
good.
Is the team.
That's right. And that's not good for anybody.
I've got two criticisms of the Giants. Number one, I didn't love the Garrett OC hire, number one. And number two, let's face it. If Daniel Jones has an uneven season, I know you like him and I respect that. I'm not trying to put you in a rough spot.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no way Gettleman can make the next choice of quarterback. He can't be my GM anymore.
No, you're probably right. I think even John Mara intimated that. That, he's not on the hot seat, and the fans have, the organization isn't, desperate to make a playoff or bust type situation, but it's basically what it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there, but that's exactly basically what it is. I agree with you.
And it's only exacerbated here in the city. I mean, let's face
it. Is.
Sam Darnold's not around anymore to knock around. So now the target, Zach Wilson's going to have a free ride for a bit with the Jets.
Yeah.
Because he's a kid. And now it's like, okay, just like Sam in year three, and Daniel had not a free pass a year ago, but was obscured by the criticisms, and rightfully so, of Darnold, the evaluation. Now Darnold's in Carolina. Daniel Jones is in the same spot Darnold was in a year ago.
Yeah, but Zach Wilson, you know, just to flip him for a second, I think he's going to get a lot longer than some of these other guys because of his personality. Right? There's something about him. Like, when you're in the room with him, you just can't help but like him.
It's my boy.
And by the way, again, we said this multiple times. I'll say it again. They played terrible in the first half. The response from him in the second half, literally running for his life because the offensive line was compromised. And then Mekhi Becton gets hurt, and George Fant has to go over to the left side, basically throw pitches instead of, you know, cutting to the left. He's got to cut into the right with the slider, right, because he can't play left tackle, even though he played left tackle. He actually made some great plays in the Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he has that rise-up ability, but also this great personality, it's going to buy him time. You know what I mean?
Good.
Just because you want to like him.
Good.
Even if you don't necessarily think he's doing well on the field, you're going to want to like him. And because we personally met Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. I feel that way about Daniel Jones as well. But publicly, he's flat.
He's homogenized.
Yes, exactly. It's just a flat, like, personality.
Yeah, he's like any guy on the subway.
That's right. And that's
like
not,
he doesn't
and
stand
it's not,
out.
It's not fair to him. But the overall, I think, perception of him is that.
Mm-hmm.
Even Vanilla, we met, yeah, exactly. We met him.
We liked
he's
him.
Cool.
Good kid.
He was
good
great.
Kid.
Loved
yep.
him.
Yep.
And so I think we give him more of a benefit of the doubt in this newsroom. Because we had a personal interaction with him.
Mm-hmm.
Most fans don't.
True.
And so
that's true.
They don't know how he really is. Whereas Zach Wilson jumps off the screen. His personality jumps off the screen.
The headband,
you
know, the hairstyle.
The smile, the
smile,
eyes.
Even the way he looks
hair.
In the uniform.
That's right.
He looks good
that's
in the uniform, doesn't he?
And I hate to say it, and I don't want to be superficial, but that matters, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you look matters.
Yeah, Darnold didn't look great in the uniform. Wilson looks good in the uniform.
That's right.
Eli didn't look great in uniforms. So I guess at the end, it doesn't really matter if you win.
Well, if you win, of course it doesn't matter. You know, but we're talking about losing.
He didn't look good in uniform,
The Jets
Eli.
Were losing, right? The Giants won it, so it doesn't matter.
No, like, I'm just saying.
You can look terrible
I'm just
and
saying.
Win.
You want to listen, you'd rather win and look good.
Let's face it. Dan Marino did not look great in a uniform.
He took off the helmet. Every girl wanted him. I thought Dan Marino looked
about,
pretty
I'm
good
not,
in a uniform.
I'm not talking about
I thought he looked pretty good in a uniform.
I'm talking about his
he had the hair out of the helmet. I think Dan looked 1,000 times better than Eli looked in a uniform.
He had the knee braces.
Oh, you're talking about Danny at the end.
I'm just talking about Danny with the cut sleeves and the big floppy jersey, like the shoulder pads. Because he needed to keep his arm free.
Yeah.
He didn't look great in a uniform, but he won. He was a baller.
Yeah.
So you forgive it.
So let's go around the room, then we'll get a break here. We've got a Raiders fan, myself and Santa are Jets fans. You know where Tiki's allegiance lies. All right, Stu Getz, in 2 years, Daniel Jones, is he the quarterback of the Giants, yes or no?
He is not, no. He's a backup somewhere.
Santa, what do you think?
I agree.
I actually think he's going to be the quarterback.
I do, too.
Some of that is derived from hope, but I think he could play.
I think he can, too.
I just think he might need a real GM to do a better job for him.
I know he can because we saw it. Who was it? It was Shurmur, right? Pat Shurmur, his first year. Daniel Jones. Call Pat Shurmur whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
He let Daniel Jones just air it out.
Yeah.
And he did great. We have not seen a 300-yard game since his rookie season.
No, that's got to change, and that's Garrett's got to start dialing up some different things. I got you. All right, coming up, so the Ravens and the Chiefs hook up this weekend. Lamar says, not about me and Mahomes, but is it? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Sunday's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. Early action, the Raiders take on the Steelers. Both teams try to move to 2-0. We're yet an exciting matchup with the Rooks at quarterback, the Pats and the Jets. Go Jets. Then second-year sensation Justin Herbert and the Bolts and the high-octane flying Chargers take on the Cowboys, and Dallas is really banged up. We chronicled that earlier. It is it's go time. Week two upon us beginning tonight, Sunday in earnest on CBS, beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. JB and the guys, NFL Today, all coming up Sunday. So we got a little something on Lamar and Patrick Mahomes, Ravens, Chiefs. I just saw this. So this is interesting. So we spent a lot of time on Urban Meyer yesterday, right?
Yep.
And Draymond Jones, you guys remember him from Ohio State.
Yep.
Draymond Jones played there, obviously. And what's that?
Yep.
And they're playing, let's see here. He said some interesting things. He said, quote, is about his former college coach, now head coach of the Jaguars. Going from college to pros is always difficult, no matter what the level is, especially coaching or playing, but especially because of a lot of his philosophies are college-based. And you can't do that with 30-plus men of even or even 25-plus men who've been around the league and know what they're doing and are now well-established. You got to shake things up in how you coach.
Yep.
He was then asked if he was surprised to hear stories that, you know, Meyer's not necessarily clicking with veteran players and maybe some coaches. He said, am I surprised by it? No. I just know how he is. I'm not going to go into great details about it, but no, it doesn't surprise me. I know how he is. End quote. Interesting.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that he's destined to fail in Jacksonville, but a guy who played with him for the Buckeyes, who's been around the NFL, and, you know, he knows how things are now. He knows Urban intimately. That's just his assessment of the situation.
But he's right.
I know.
Urban Meyer's got to evolve a little bit. Not that he's got to change. Not that he's got to do things differently than he's ever done and get rid of the methods and the beliefs that he's always had as a head coach, because if he does that, then he's being not true to himself. So he's got to still continue to be who he is. He just got to evolve a little bit, because the professional game is so different. Grown men who have a job and not, you know, there because of you want them there. It's a different animal, and he's got to learn how to attack it differently.
But how do you change on the fly in real time?
It's hard. You can't. I mean, it's not immediately, at least, and it's not about changing immediately. It's about understanding what's working and what's not, and adjusting where you need to.
Do you think he'll change enough to have great success?
I do. I do. I think he's. I don't think he's so close-minded in that regard. You know what I mean? He'd have to be like deaf and completely ignorant of what's going on around him to not.
Or maybe arrogant. I don't think that he is unable to decipher the fact that he might need to change.
Yeah.
I think he's too arrogant to the point where he might believe that he's above it.
He doesn't think he needs to.
Yes. That's my fear for Jacksonville.
I can't see that. I don't think he's closed-minded enough to think he doesn't need to.
Well, we're not going to get the answer today, but we shall see. Let's see, little Ravens and the Chiefs here. This is going to be a great matchup. Two awesome teams. You know, I mean, the Q rating is through the roof here. I want to play something, though. Lamar Jackson, you know, he says, hey, it's not so much about the quarterbacks. We could assert that, yeah, it actually might be, but let's play this from Lamar Jackson.
Nah, you know, it's not about, you know, me and Mahomes. Not to me, you know, probably to everyone else, but, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, three times or whatever, but that's in the past. We you know, we got a better opportunity this time to come around, and we take the advantage and win at our home stadium. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we come in Sunday night, and we're going to play.
Okay, I have no issue with what he said. A matter of fact, if he said, yeah, it is me and Mahomes, I mean, that would be almost egotistical to the point. It's definitely the Ravens versus the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else he would say, but I got to tell you, much like the Giants and Washington, by the way, let's not bury the lead. We spent all the time on Daniel Jones last segment. Washington's got a lot of pressure tonight. I think the Ravens have a lot of pressure, not necessarily to win this week, but to look crisp.
Yeah, I think you're right. Teams that start 0-2 just do not have a high percentage of making the postseason. I want to say it's 34% or something like that, maybe even less than that. If you start a season 0-2, that might be different now because we're obviously playing 17 games, but it's still a hole, like a big hole to climb out of. And the Ravens, who had such high expectations coming into this season, whether it was competing for the division or, you know, taking that next step, which would be the AFC Championship game in the postseason, you know, if they start 0-2, they gotta really start climbing. Now, I think they're good enough, and they're coached well enough, and their talent is obviously there on both sides of the ball to do that. But it's not what you want. You know what I mean? It's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. And so Kansas City, as a week two opponent, is a tough hustle for the Baltimore Ravens, coming off of unexpected loss in overtime to the Raiders, a game they could have and maybe even should have won.
Yep.
But they dropped that one, and so now they got to climb out of this hole.
That's why I think they need to play well. And, you know, you can't take an aesthetically appealing loss and deposit it in the win column. I get that.
Yeah.
If you lose, you lose. But
that's right.
And by the way, the numbers, I give you a more recent snapshot. Since 2000, forget about 35%, 34. Since 2007, you know, not 100 years or 50 years, but, you know, more than a decade. 2007, 12% of the teams that fall to 0-2 failed to make it. Now, what I am going to look for from the Ravens this week, and I'm not convinced that this does not happen, the way they lost the game, the way they lost. I mean, can I see a situation where they're down 20-7 against the Chiefs? I can.
Yeah.
I think they need to play, even if they lose, they need to play a crisp game.
Yeah, well, the reason they lost this last one is because Lamar fumbled.
And yeah.
We just don't see that very often. I know that he does, I mean, not often.
He's had some three fumble games.
He has, but they don't lose a lot because of it, right? I think this game, and, you know, give Carl Nassib tons of credit for making that play, but it's very rare that Lamar Jackson's issues cause them to lose, because they don't lose a lot. I just hope that's not in his head, because he was asked about it a lot. He talked about it, how he was, you know, upset about it, pissed off about it.
Yeah, we played it yesterday.
Yep.
Good leadership.
I agreed. He took blame. He took the blame for it. And I think that's part of the process of getting over it. But still, at the end of the day, starting 0-2 is not going to be fun for them. Now, their schedule lightens up after
big time.
This.
I'm looking at it right now.
Detroit and Denver.
Yep.
Even though Denver actually might be better than people thought that they were going to be.
And both were on the road.
Yep.
At Detroit, at Denver.
And then the Colts, who, I mean, they're beatable. They're not pushovers, but they're beatable.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers are going to have to outscore. Cincy, maybe even the same thing. And they get the bye week. So it's actually not that
they
easy of a ride.
Well, it's easier than some have it.
Yes.
The Buccaneers have it pretty tough.
Yes.
Let's see, does it lighten at the back end? Well, they finish up the season. Now, who knows where Green Bay is going to be? Probably in a pretty good spot, but you never know. I mean, every season's different. If the Ravens don't get their act together and they're fighting and scrapping for a wild card, because I don't think that, I picked the Browns to win this division over the summer. So, you know, I like the Browns and I picked the Steelers for a wild card. I was not buying the Ravens. I don't have them as a playoff team. But if they go into mid-ish December and they're in a position where they've got to really win games to solidify a wild card or division, I'll keep the door open. Green Bay, at Cincy, the Rams, and at the Steelers.
Yeah.
And home to the Steelers.
Yeah.
So Green Bay, the Rams, and the Steelers, three of the final four games.
Yeah.
Those aren't teams you don't want to have to win two of those games or three of those games.
Right.
That's a tough slate. Tough slate. CeeLo, who's your team, by the way? You a Jets or a Giants guy?
I'm a Giants guy.
I covered
the Jets, but I'm a Giant fan, you know, since childhood, yes.
Still covering the Jets?
No. No.
Yeah, it seems like that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think 2017 was my last year.
That long ago?
Yeah, time flies. You know how it goes, man.
Yeah, you were doing a good job. What happened? The company just said, no, we're not paying anybody anymore. Is that what happened?
No, I went to them and basically said, with the amount of hours and work that I put into it, I'd need a little bit more.
And yeah, and they said,
didn't have that in the budget. And I said, we give it to Boomer.
They said the budget goes everything to Boomer.
I can't argue with that, you know.
Hey, listen, you got to feed the horse, right?
Yeah.
You got to make sure Boomer's happy and Boomer's feeling good.
It was just, you know what it was? I was doing more work here at the studio, so it was like, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
You did a good job with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You
it
did.
Wasn't
I mean
like
that.
my main source of income.
I got you.
I do miss it from time to time.
You think the Jets handle themselves well? Because I ask you this, because of all, now you know I'm a big time Jets fan.
Yeah.
We had Joe Douglas on the show. Mike, what was that? Mike Teague, what was that? A couple months ago at this point? Right after the draft we had. Now, really, the only reason we got Joe on the show is my little guy was doing some work at a baseball facility with a former college coach who, ironically, I used to play against, which doesn't really matter. But I've known him on some level for like 20 years. Joe Douglas's son trains at this facility.
Okay.
So since I've had a relationship with this coach, I said, you got to get Joe on my show.
Yeah.
Jets ain't helping me out. He said, absolutely. Reached out to Joe.
Sounds about right.
Joe hooked it up. And of all, we do our two-a-days, right? I mean, we have Bruce Arians. We get Sean Payton. Yeah, we had Joe Judge on twice. And we get everybody. The Jets give us nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, were they that bad back then with the PR stuff? They're horrible
with
it.
They're very hesitant.
We had Austin Eckler. I mean, we had all A-listers.
They are very hesitant. I will say there were some difficulties, and especially getting guys on in this building. I know for you it's different than WFAN
locally.
No, it's
not, though,
here.
Because we don't get them either.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying in theory it should be different. Well, you can understand why in New York, without getting into all that on a national level, there's a little bit more nitty-gritty there that goes on. But, yeah, I don't know. It is like pulling teeth sometimes with that.
Man,
they try to protect their guys.
When I was on the other station locally back in the day, I mean, Tannenbaum was great.
Sure.
Herm was always on. I used to interview Mangini. Rex was great.
Flagship, though, yeah?
Well, that's true.
But not just
for paid spots. Woody would come on. I mean, all these guys would come on. But true, flagship, that is a little bit of a difference.
But yeah, it's something that, you know, even there have been some changes in the PR department there just since from when I started up until now.
Yeah.
And doesn't really seem like there's much of a change in the philosophy or the way that they put those guys out there.
Such a disservice. I mean? It's a great building. You know,
they
could do so much more. We'll see. But anyway, CeeLo's got the update coming your way. Tika, I'll hit you with the blast right after that. CeeLo, right now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, take it, Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. My poor wife, dude. It's pretty much every day at this point. I make her. And bless her heart, she does it every time. I make her send me videos of practice because I'm not there. I'm there on the weekends. I'm coaching baseball. I'm coaching, but during the practice, football, he's got football and baseball today. I'm like, send me videos. Yeah. I gotta see what's going on.
You're a tyrant.
No. I just love it. Not a tyrant.
I'm just kidding.
You know what I did today? Did something I haven't done in a long time.
What's that?
Not afraid to say it. Not ashamed to say it. Got a microderm facial. I did. I laid down. Oh, it was for an hour. Oh, it was. You ever get one of those?
I have not in a really, really long time.
Oh, man.
Really long time.
It was good. You get out, your face is like gooey.
Dude, not since I've been in the city. So it's probably been, it's in at least a decade.
Oh, man. At those least. Things are really good. Well, you know what it is? I'm not going to give them a free pop, so don't say the name, but there's a massage chain, right?
Yes. I know you.
You and Trace have the same one.
Yep.
And number one, with COVID, I haven't gone. And even before that, they like pile up. And until you cancel, they keep piling up.
That's right.
So I've got like 47.
Even through COVID. That's right.
I've got 47 unused massages. So, you know. I just had a horrendous joke I was going to throw in there, but I'm going to be classy.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, you know, good call. Smart move on my part. But so I'm like, all right, so I got to start doing some stuff here. And I don't have time to go and sit for 90-minute massages. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, how much is a facial?
You literally could go every day. you could literally go every day if you got that many piled up.
I could. But instead, now I'm on a monthly treatment here with the microderm facial.
Nice.
Because you know, you shave the head. You don't realize the top of the head, too.
That's right.
When you shave the dome.
That's right.
I know you don't have to shave the top, but you got to shave the sides.
That's right.
And we're just ripping off, you know, the top layer of the skin.
Over,
right,
and over and over
and over and over and over.
Well, Samter doesn't have to shave his head, and he never shaves his face. So he knows, he has no idea what
I
we're
talking
about.
I shave my face every now and again, but we're not on TV, so I don't have a need to shave my face.
You know what, though, Mike? You're kind of like me. You look weird with cleanly shaven, freshly shaven.
Let's be honest. I look weird both ways.
Nah, you look better with stubble. I think I look better with stubble, too. I've become so used to it, you know?
I can't.
Yeah, but it's hard to maintain stubble.
I try, but my face itches too much.
When you don't shave?
Yeah, because my hair is curly, so it curls into my skin.
Yeah. So mine's pretty curly. Mine gets a little curly.
True.
Probably not like yours, but a little bit curly.
Well, yours gets curly after it's out of their skin. Mine gets curly like right as...
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
It curls like immediately.
Oh, no. After like a week and a half or so, which is what I'm rocking right now. What did you say, Mike? It's hard to what, maintain?
It's just hard to maintain stubble.
No, it's actually easy. That's why you've got to get one of those facial clippers.
No, I do, but like stubble is so tight to the face that when you use one of those facial clippers, like, you've got to be so exact and prime. Like, if I'm just trimming the beard or trimming, you know, whatever, I'm talking about like 1 or 2 day stubble, right?
Oh,
like,
that's tough to do. Yeah.
Like this right here that I have going on.
Was that about
I
4 days?
Well, this is about 4 days.
About 4 days.
Yeah, this is about 4 days.
Okay.
But this is easy to maintain. I'm talking about this I don't think I look great with. It's the stubble that, like, after a day or two, it's just like a little bit of that 5 o'clock shadow with a little bit of extra. Yeah. That's when it looks the best.
And Stu Getz, as you get a little bit older, you're going to keep that beard? I mean, that's the one thing. The one thing I don't get, and it's a very nicely kept beard, it's not about Stu Getz. I don't get the whole fascination with like, unruly beards, like Justin Turner.
It became a pandemic thing.
But even before that, guys were rocking
it. Pandemic pride thing.
I don't know how women like that. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, evidently so, because I'm sure a lot of these guys are having fun.
Exactly.
You know? Anyway. What are we doing here?
Blast.
I know. I don't want to get to the blast yet. I want to mess around a little bit.
I can tell. There's nothing to mess around.
Should I really bet? I'm going to bet the Giants. Should I go heavy? Coming off a rough week, by the way. I had a rough week with Dallas because I bet the Bucks to cover everything.
Yep.
Lost them all. And went 3-7 last week in Sharp Tierney. I do like the Giants. I don't love them, but I like the Giants. I mean, pardon me. I like Washington tonight.
Yeah.
It's not the strongest conviction, but I know Washington's a little bit better.
Yeah, well, they just feel healthier.
Other
than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Stu Getz, what do you think? Help me out here. What do you like?
I like Washington.
I'm going to bet Washington tonight.
Yeah, I would bet Washington.
I am. Are you going to put something in or no?
I'm not. I don't feel that good about it.
But you want me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Spend your money.
Yeah, okay. I could probably absorb it a little bit more than you, but
yeah,
a little bit.
I would say so.
I got you. All right, let's get to the blast. What do we got?
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Calvin Johnson's feud with the Lions has been very publicized since his retirement in 2015. Now, in a recent interview, Calvin had this to say about the $1.6 million he says he's owed by the team.
It's the principle of it. Like, no, you cannot have me back unless you put that money back in my pocket. I ain't got to do it all at once. You ain't got to do it, but you got to commit to do it in the right way. You know, don't have me. I'm not working for it. I don't mind coming and doing work for the organization because I love football, love pouring back into the team. But there ain't no way in the world I'm coming back over there to do anything unless that's coming back, and I see how it's coming back.
Man wants his money. Man wants to get paid. So what do we make of Megatron wanting Detroit to pay him the money he's owed to end the feud?
I just find this odd, in a sense. You know what I mean? He had a storied career. He made a good amount of money, got over $100 million. And his, how many years did he play? Was he 9 years? I think it was 9 years with the Detroit Lions. And again, he's talking about this in principle, and so I get it, because if the team says they're going to do something and then they don't, on principle, you need them to like do right by you. But I just don't think he wants to be involved in football. I mean, because maybe he does, but I don't think he does.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a feud that's pointless in a lot of ways.
It is,
but I don't know. I can't fault the guy.
Let's face it. It's a feud that only somehow a bad organization's embroiled in.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a better way to put it.
A good organization's not dealing with this nonsense. Now, contractually, Detroit actually had the right to pursue getting the money back, but that's fact. And I think that Calvin kind of leaves that out purposely, for sure. But that's a petty move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very petty move. He's dug in the sand. I know the Lions basically said, we'll give you a couple of checks, three checks of $500,000 for X amount of appearances. He said he already worked for it. He should get it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it was an advance, so he didn't technically work for it. Detroit's not wrong, but it's petty.
Agreed.
Carmelo Anthony's still looking for his first NBA championship, and he's hoping that joining LeBron and AD will help him achieve that. Melo joined the Daily Show. Boy, he's going everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
Joined the Daily Show with Trevor Noah earlier this week, and he had this to say about his quest for a ring.
It's nothing that I'm trying to prove. If I wouldn't have picked LA, I'd have been at peace walking away from the game. Knowing that I gave it everything I could and I still couldn't win a championship, I would have been at peace with that. I'd have been good. But now that I'm in the Lakers, I can't be at peace with not winning the championship. So you got to change your way of thinking. You got to change your perspective.
All right. How much, if at all, would Melo winning a ring as a role player late in his career change the perception of him?
Not much.
I agree. I think it depends. Does he hit some big shots? Is there influence as you play in fourth quarter? Is he playing down the stretch meaningful minutes? I mean, these are all things to be determined here, but listen, if you're a champion, you're a champion. But anybody who's watched his entire career, we're from moment one, starting at Syracuse, we are well aware of the tantalizing gifts, but also the obvious deficiencies, which makes his legacy a little complex. A championship wouldn't completely eradicate
those.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, we know. I think we've made up our mind about Carmelo Anthony. Now, could he? Again, you're right. If he is in the postseason with the Lakers and he hits, you know, dagger after dagger, or makes a huge play to push them forward in a series and becomes an important role player, then it will be his lasting or his ending legacy, not his lasting legacy. I think that's the difference. But if he's just kind of riding the pine and they win another one, we just kind of think of him as the same.
All right, after winning the NBA championship, the Bucks have made some more history. They've hired Lisa Byington. Is that how you say it? I'm not even really sure how you even say it.
Byington,
pardon me, is their TV play-by-play announcer. Now, she becomes the first full-time female play-by-player for a major men's professional team. Do we think this will be the start of a trend of more female play-by-players?
That's great. I mean, possibly. You hear this already. Beth Mowins, who I'll be doing week 4 and for CBS with this in the next 2 weeks from now. Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
What game is that again? I forgot.
It will be...
You traveling somewhere? Where's the local?
Houston at Buffalo.
Oh, up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
cool. Good environment up there.
So
watch out for the mafia.
I know, right?
And the tables.
We're starting to see some of this, some of these women get into the men's game. And I think it's great. They had a different perspective. And as long as they're great at their job, which clearly she is, kudos.
Yep, and the door's open, as doors have been opening for a while now. And as long as you are good, it doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter. I mean, I guess in the eye, it matters what you sound like in terms of the subjectivity of hiring people. You know, certain executives want certain sounds. I get that. But you know, as long as you can create the action, the flow, and she obviously can, I think it's great, and I think that he's going to see more, no doubt. All right, do you want to do college football or soccer? I'll give you the last call here.
Soccer.
Oh, my God, this nerd. U.S. Soccer Federation announced earlier this week...
This is great.
...that they are offering the players' unions for the men's and women's national teams the same contract proposals. It's a major win for the women's team, who has made a very public fight about equal pay in U.S. soccer. What do we make of U.S. soccer and the step towards equal pay?
Some people are calling this a publicity stunt, a PR stunt, just to placate the women's and U.S. women's national team who have sued and created a PR nightmare for USA soccer. But the reality is that the U.S. women's national team has been phenomenal, and they've won World Cups. And, you know, as a brand, a national brand for U.S. soccer, they are significantly better than the men, just from a brand standpoint. Now, the men are catching up. The under-18 team was great this year, and I think their World Cup team is going to be good.
Yeah, we're finally showing some signs.
We're finally showing some signs, but I don't think this is a publicity stunt. I think this is just – it's earned. It's an earned contract that the women are fought for and finally got.
It's easy to be skeptical, a little dubious to this. I'm not going to go down that road. I mean, publicity stunt, it really cheapens and it weakens the accomplishments of a great team.
Yeah, I agree.
And they
bring in as much money as the men.
Like to see the actual quantification of that. I'm not saying that it's not there. I don't have it in front of me. I know that it's in the same neighborhood, if not even a little bit more with certain things.
It's mostly because they've made the World Cup.
Then you got to split the pie more equitably.
That's right. Now, if the men start making the World Cup consistently because their team is good,
then it'll change.
It'll change.
I got you.
But it should be based on what you actually do.
Meritocracy, brother.
No doubt.
Boom.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
And this Giant final score tonight.
28-23.
Don't just pick the Giants because you feel like you have to. You don't think the Giants can win tonight.
I do.
This guy always does this.
I think they're opening
up. Now you think they're going
to win? I think they're opening up for Daniel Jones.
30-20 Washington. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.